Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Erechin Daf Yud. We begin at the Mishnah, which is four lines from the top. So back to the minimum and maximum in terms of numbers of all different stripes and types. And here goes. It's about the instruments, and it's about the blowing, it's about the singing in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Mishnah, Ein Poichsen, we do not have less. Meaning, there is no day throughout the year that they will have less than 21 blows. Me'eshrim v'achas takiyas b'mikdash. So we're speaking about what kind of blows? We're speaking about blowing the chatzotres, those trumpets that they would blow during, you know, various times throughout the day, when they opened the gates, when they were doing the karbanos, right? So at a minimum, it's going to be 21 blows that the kehana would blow these trumpets 21 times. Me'eshrim v'achas takiyas b'mikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash. Le'mesifin, and the cap, the max, is no more than al arba'im v'shmoina, 48 blows. And this was reserved for special occasions, like on Sukkos, when they had the extra karbanos, they had the pouring of the water. So minimum is 21, maximum 48. Now what about the instruments that were used? How many were there? Ein poichsen mishnei nevalim. So naval, some say is some sort of wind instrument, some say it's like a string instrument. No less than two were used in the symphony, played during the singing of the Shira, which happened when they would bring the karbanos, pour the wine, right? So no less than two of these instruments were played. Ein poichsen mishnei nevalim, and at a maximum it would be six. Ve'blei mesifin al shisha, no more than six. And Rashi says, I'm not sure, it's barish time, not sure about the significance of these numbers. Ein poichsen mishnei chalilin, now chalil is a flute, no less than two. Ve'blei mesifin, they wouldn't add more than 12. Ve'blei mesifin al shnei masar, more than 12. And Rashi actually says that 12 here has significance because he says, Keneged Yud Beis Yomim. It corresponds to the number 12, 12 days. Shachalal Makel Fnei Mizbeach, that they would actually use and play the chalal. It was called Makel, bang, the tap, meaning like you tap it with your fingers. So 12 corresponded to that number, which was the maximum amount. As the Mishnah continues, Ubishne Masar Yem Bashana, in fact, it was 12 days throughout the year that they would add the chalil to the band, which played all the time when they brought karbanis. But 12 days a year was unique, where they had the chalil join the orchestra, Ubishne Masar Yem Bashana, chalil makav ne mizbeach, it would play before the mizbeach when the levim sang the halal, which was specific to those 12 days. We'll see later in the Gemara exactly which days they are. So in addition to the standard instead of the regular shir, they sang the Hallel on account of those special celebratory occasions, and they had the Chalal join the orchestra. Which 12 days? B'shchitas Pesach Rishon, when they shechted the Korban Pesach the first time around on Yudal Ben Nissan, so they would recite the Hallel when they would do the Shchita, and the music accompanied the Hallel. U'b'shchitas Pesach Sheni, and the second time around as well, for the people who were delayed, right? The Yudal de Be'ir. So again, during the Shchita, there was this orchestra playing, V'yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, on the first day of Pesach, on Rishon Shel Atzeres, and on Shavuos, V'shmoina Simeachag, and throughout all 8 days of Sukkos, for a total of 12 days. But otherwise, throughout the year, Levim would play a very nice orchestra, a very nice symphony, but it was without the chalal, which was unique to these special days. Now, speaking about the chalal, they wouldn't use a metal, you know, a copper flute. Ela ba'avav, here the Mishnah calls it an abav. Chalal and abav are one and the same. Ela ba'avav shalkana was made of what? It was a reed type of flute, which had a very unique, sweet sound to it. Because the sound produced by this old-time reed flute was very sweet and pleasant. Lo yahaya machlik. In effect, the flute performed the final note, right? The finale at the end. Machlik means it ended the music. Elab avav yichidi. So even though he had several, you know, flutes playing at once, but at the very end, they allowed just a single flute to give that last note. Hishu machlik yafe, because that really has a nice end sound to it. Va'avdikanim hayu. Now, who would play the chalilim? They were the avadim. Interesting, it was the servants of the kohanim. Maybe they had extra time to study this difficult instrument, so they sent them for music lessons, and they would come and play the flute. Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Yosi Yemer, no. It was Yisraelim who were a miyuchasim, who had a properly established lineage. Mishpachas Beis Pegorim, that family. Ubeis Tziporaya, this other family. And they came from the town of Amom. Me'amom hayu. Masin lekuhuna. What was unique about these families is that they were well established in their yichus, and they would actually marry into kohanim families. They were Yisraelim, but they were miyuchasim. Rabbi Chanina Tignus Omer, actually, just as the rest of the instruments were played by Levim, was their task, was their job. So the Chalidim were also handled by Levim only, Levim Hayu, not Yisraelim, and certainly not Avadim. The Gemara later will explain, you know, the reasoning behind the Machlekes. Okay, but let's first start with the beginning of the mission. How many times would they blow the Chatzaitres? No less than 21. I was capped at 48. Now, in the Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda says, he cuts it by two-thirds. He says, it's from 7 to 21 to 16, which is exactly a third. 7 and a third of 21. And he maximizes at 16, which is a third of 48. Masdis now Mishnah, which cites 21 verses 48, like Rabbi Yehuda, unlike Rabbi Yehuda, says, it's 7 verses 16. At a minimum, you go to 7 blows. At a maximum, it's 16. So interestingly, when we speak about a blow in the Mikdash, it was really a set, like we do on Rosh Hashanah, right? We have the broken sound in the middle, preceded by a long unbroken, and followed by a long unbroken. It was a tkiah, true tkiah. So technically, you only do that, but since we're not sure exactly how to configure that broken sound, is it shvarim, is it true, is it shvarim true? That's how we get into so many multiple variations of blowing on Rosh Hashanah, but technically, it's really just one set. You know, which you blow, and you know, that does it, right? So you blow, you know, three of those sets, but in any case, the multiplication is because of the unknown. And anyways, but it's meant to be blown as a set. The question now is, when we blow a set, does it count as one single entity? Is the package called one mitzvah, or is it three separate mitzvahs? The tkiah, the true, the tkiah, does it count separate or as one? Says the Gemara, Micah Miflagi. Oh, so that will explain what the machlekes is about. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, tkiah, true, tkiah, achasi. He says this set, a tkiah, then a true, tkiah, followed by a tkiah at the end, is really chadi, it's one single entity, it's one mitzvah. So it counts as one. So that's how 21 turns into 7. It's 21 separate blows, but it's really 7 sets. Rabban Sabri, Rabban say it's 3 separate experiences, 3 separate mitzvahs, and therefore count separately. That's how you get to the higher number. Rabban Sabri, Tkia, Luchud, Tkia is a separate blow. Utrua, the broken one in the middle is Luchud, stands alone. Utkia, Luchud, the one at the end, counts separately as well. My time to Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda consider them to be one mitzvah? Ksif, because if you look in the Psukim, where it speaks about blowing the trumpets when they travel in the Midbar, you see that the term Tekiah and Teruah are interchangeable. Apparently, it's really one and the same entity. It's one and the same experience. It's got them Teruah, Tekiah, Teruah. Then it says, Uksiv, Teruah, the Teruah, Yitko, they will build the Teruah. So we're sort of mixing Teruah and Tekiah and Tekiah and Teruah together to tell you, Shema Mina, we learn from here, Tekiah, Teruah, Tekiah, achad hi. That it's really all one and the same, whether it's a tkiyah, the true tkiyah, it's all one entity. So even though it's three sounds, it counts as one. For Rabbanan, Rabbanan respond, no. The pasuk doesn't mean it's one mitzvah. The pasuk is simply presenting the sequence of how it's meant to be done. First a tkiyah, and then a trua, right? It got him trua. Then it goes the other way, trua yitku, to tell you that the trua is followed by a tkiyah. It's just meant to sequence the order of sounds. Rabbanan, who lif shutel afanel, to teach you a long uninterrupted sound before the broken one. Upshuta and a long uninterrupted tkiyah lacharev follows the broken one. That's what's coming to teach us. But of course, in terms of counting, they're separate blows and separate mitzvahs. Okay, so we have Rabbi the source and the Rabbanan's response. Now, for the Rabbanan's reasoning, for Rabbanan my time, what do Rabbanan consider them to be separate? The pasuk says when they summon the nation together. They weren't traveling, just summoning them together. Chsiv ubahakel, the pasuk instructs, ubahakel as hakol, and you gather together the crowd, tisku, you simply do a tekiah, just one tekiah of leituri, without a trua. So unlike when they travel, that it was three sounds, it was just a single sound. Apparently, a single sound can stand alone, because really each sound is a separate experience. V'yisal gudaitach, if you're going to tell me, that the tkiyah with the trua with tkiyah is really one chadi, is one experience, is one mitzvah. Amar rachmana avid palga de mitzvah. So now the Torah wouldn't tell you do only half a mitzvah, just a tkiyah if it's only half the experience. Rabbi Yehuda, he responds, of course, all three are one mitzvah. Simana ba'amu. But here it's different than the other sounding, the other blows, which are mitzvahs. Here it's just a simon, it's just a signal to call them in together. It doesn't really require a proper procedure, the full package, which is really one inseparable mitzvah. Now, we have a statement by Rav Kahana, and we'd like to know whose opinion, whose shita does it follow? Does it follow Rabbi Yehuda, who considers all three as one mitzvah, or the Rabbanan, that it's separate mitzvahs? Come on, Ozla. Hodamar Rav Kahana. We'd like to know Rav Kahana's halacha. Who does it follow? What does he say? Ein bein tkiyah l'truah v'lo klum. So, between the tkiyah and the truah, there isn't meant to be any pause. V'lo klum, no pause at all. Some learn it has to be within the same breath. Some say that it has to be, you know, close enough, but you can catch a breath in between. Okay, in any case, very, very close to each other. Come on, Rabbi Yehuda. Apparently, it's like Rabbi Yehuda. That it's one mitzvah, hence, no pausing. In contrast to Rabbanan, who shouldn't have an issue with separating them, they're separate mitzvahs anyway. Oh, Pshita, obviously, it's going like Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, what's the point of mentioning? Obviously. Perhaps this halacha follows the Rabbanan as well. Will allow you to pause. And that's not what he meant to say. He just meant to say, don't disperse it throughout the day. As opposed to Rabbi Yechon, who allows us to blow the nine blows that we blow in Rosh Hashanah, one an hour. Could do it throughout the whole day. Suppose he spread them out. He heard those nine sounds, which you are required to hear in Rosh Hashanah. Right, the tkiyah, trua, tkiyah, three times over, total of nine, one per hour. But Teisha Shas B'yam Yotzi, okay, and perhaps he's coming to dispute that. Meaning, even quote the Rabbanan, that they're separate mitzvahs, but too far apart, it's too far apart. Kamash Mon, and that's why we had to clarify that, in fact, his point was, don't pause at all, which only works according to Rabbi Yehuda, that it's one inseparable mitzvah. V'melchen Navi, maybe not, maybe he was allowing a pause, just don't disperse it. Look at his wording. He says, don't separate them with any separation. That sounds like it's one continuum, one experience, which is like Rabbi Yehuda only. The Mishnah continued. What about the chalal, this flute? When did it join the band? Only during those 12 special days. The question is, what's unique about those special days? Why these days more than any other? These were extra days of celebration, where even a yachid, a private person, would recite the full halal on account of the occasion, the yom tov, the karbanos, and the nisim, right? And Tosfos points out, Tosfos Bracha says that when the Gemara says yachid, it doesn't mean as opposed to the people in shul. It means to say as opposed to the, those days where it was a full collective, Klal Yisrael experience, like the Erev Pesach when they had the Shechita of the Karban Pesach and Beis Hamikdash, everyone together, Klal Yisrael together recited. He was speaking about individuals, meaning, all of Klal Yisrael on their shuls, in sort of, each one in his own setting, would recite the full halal. So those special days were days that likewise in the Mikdash were celebrated in a special way. They would bring the special instrument to play along. Now, which days are days of halal? Da'ar v'yechanan, mishum shimon yitzadok, and these correspond to the days mentioned in the Mishnah as well. So Amar Bechem Shem Shimon Yitzadek, he tells us Shmonya Asa Yom Bashan. Actually, it's 18 in total, but we'll see in a minute. Eight of them are Hanukkah, which is not really relevant to the Beis Hamikdash because there was no karbanis, special karbanis for Hanukkah. So we deduct from the 18, we deduct eight. So only 10 are really relevant for Beis Hamikdash, plus the two that we mentioned in the Mishnah, the Shechita of the Karban Pesach Rishon and again Karban Pesach Sheni. So that's for a total of 12. That gets you to the magic number. There were a total of 18 days annually that we all recite the full halal. Now this is as opposed to some days where we only do part halal, like Rosh Chodesh. Those are minhag. It's a minhag to, it's not, the basic halacha, which pertains only to these 18 days. So again, the 18 are as follows. Shmoina Yimei Achag, the 8 days of Sukkos. Shmoina Yimei Chanukah, 8 days of Chanukah. V'yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach, first day of Pesach. V'yom Tov Shal Atzeres and Shavuos. So it's 18. In the Mikdash, Chanukah was not really relevant. There's no special carbon on Chanukah. So goes down to 10, plus those 2 days, Erev Pesach Rishon V'Sheni. That explains the number 12, where the Chalal will join the ranks of a goyel and outside Eretz Yisrael, but they would observe an extra day Yom Tov on account of the uncertainty, so it actually bumps it up from 18 to 21 days, because you have a longer Pesach, a longer Sukkot, a longer Shavuos. Esrim ve'echad, 21 days in total, where you say the full halal. Tishrei me'echad, 9 days of Sukkot, Shmoneh mi Chanukah, 8 days of Chanukah, u'shnei yom tov mishal Pesach, the first 2 days of Pesach, shnei yom tov mishal Atzeres, and 2 days of Shavuos. Ask the Gemara. Now, why do we find this discrepancy? Maishno b'chag, why is it that on Sukkot, Amrin kol yoyma? As we just saw, every single day earns its full halal. U'maishno Pesach le'amrinan, as opposed to Pesach, which is limited to the first day or 2 days. We don't say kol yoyma. Return to me, says the Gemara. You know why? Because the difference in the karbonis, the chag, because on Sukkot, which is called chag, chaluk and karbon is sand. There are different numbers, different configurations of karbonis. Every single day has its own celebration, its own unique arrangement of karbonis. So that's reflected by the, separate halal that we say every day, as opposed to the Pesach. On Pesach, it's all one and the same. It's just a replication every day, the same thing. So it's lacking that, independence and uniqueness. The Pesach ain't chalukim karbon seyan. There's no differentiation in the numbers of karbonis. Hence, we only say the halal one time on account of the full yom tov. Asks the Gemara, okay, if that's the criteria that it has to have a new type of karbonis, Shabbos. What about Shabbos? Every week, the chaluka b'karbon seyan, its karbonis are very different than the weekday karbonis. Lema, why not recite the halal? The answer is there's another element that's required. It has to be mayid. It has to be an occasion which is labeled as mayid, like a yom tov. Well, yikri mayid, Shabbos doesn't have that designation. What about Rosh Chodesh? The yikri mayid, which is called mayid, Rashi brings a pasuk, karelai mayid. Lema. So how about reciting the full halal? Right, we do it today, but it's only on account of a minhag. We don't even do the full halal. Full halal should be required. It's a mayid, it has new karbanis. Lema. Well, lo yigdish basiyas malacha. Actually, there's another precondition. There has to be a mitzvah to refrain from doing mundane work. You have to be in a state of elevation, a purely spiritual realm, in order to spring forth with the recitation of thanksgiving of Hallel. So basically three conditions: unique karbonis, moyed, and kadosh basiyas malacha. How do we know that that's a precondition as well? The chsiv, we have a pasuk where Yeshaya Hanavi, he says the nevuah about the geula, the redemption that they'll salvation that they'll experience there, and he says, "Hashir yilachem," you'll be in such a state of song, "Kileles kadosh chag," just like the song that you sing forth on the night that is kadosh, the night of Yom Tov, the night of Pesach. We learn Laila Mekudosh L'Chag Ton Shir, only a night, only a time where it's Mekudosh L'Chag, where there is holiness and separation from the mundane. When there's no malacha, that is a Ton Shira, that requires Shira, that is appropriate for Shira. However, Laila She'ein Mekudosh L'Chag, but if you don't have this extra Kedusha of a Chag, like Rosh Chodesh, which is Mutter and to do malacha, Ein Ton Shira, there's no Shira required. Ask the Gemara, hold up, what about Rosh Hashanah and Kippurim? Those days seem to have all these conditions, all three preconditions. Dikru Mayed, Vigdash Masiyas Malacha. Right? Firstly, they have Nukarbanis. Secondly, they're called Mayed. In fact, they're listed together with the other, Mayadim, the other Yamim Tovim, and V'igdush Basiyas Malacha. Of course, you refrain from doing Malacha, Lemos, so they fit the bill. Why not say the full Hallel? Mishum Dar Bavo, on account of Rabbi Avo, a new reason. Damar Rabbi Avo, the mood is not right. In fact, the Malachim had the same question. Why are the Bnei Yisrael not calling out in song, singing Hallel on these days? Damar Rabbi Avo, Amru, Malach Yashar Reis, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Malach Ask Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Mipnei Ma, why is it so that Ein Yisrael Oimrim, Shira Lefanecha, why is it that Yisrael do not recite Shira before you on these days of judgment? Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, Amar Lanus, he says to them exactly such, it's Rosh Hashanah, time of judgment, time of Teshuvah, it's a different type of mood. Amar lehen, efshar melech yeshiv al kisei hadin. Can it be so that a king is sitting on his throne of judgment, judging them life or death? V'sifrei chayim, v'sifrei meisim, psuchan lefanam. And he has the books of life and death before him. It's a very precarious situation. Yisrael, you expect the Eden to get up and say shira? I'm shira lefanai. It's just it's not a fitting type of setting. The lashon Rambam is that, he says, it's a time of tshuva and yira, and that's why I'm not expected to say shiran these days. But he says, listen, it's not days of simcha yisera, extra expression of joy. It's made tshuva, a yira, a facha, and therefore it's just not, fit for Hallel. Ask the Gemara, V'hochanaka, to loy hochi v'loy hochi. But what about Hanukkah? We say the full Hallel. It doesn't seem to fit the bill at all. A, it's not a mayid, established in the Torah, established later by the Chachamim. It's not labeled as a mayid. V'loy hochi, nor do we refrain from doing malacha. And still, Vilka Amar, we say the full Hallel on all 8 days of Hanukkah. Says the Gemara, Mishum Nisa, because actually there's another reason to say Hallel. The Gemara back in Pesachim says that the Nevi'im established a system of Hallel. When is Hallel recited? So they give two junctures. First of all, Koperek Koperek, every special, time in the year, right? A Yom Tov, and then Val Kol Tzara V'Tzara, for every salvation, for every redemption. So the Briska Rav explains that in fact there are two reasons, two systems for saying challah. A, doing these set days throughout the year, Yom Tovim, right? And then we have something called a halal derech shir of haidah, as an expression of saying thanksgiving. It's a different type of halal. He calls the first kriya. It's like kriya satoyer. You call down the special element of kedusha that's unique to that day, right? Just like kriya satoyer. Why is it called kriya satoyer? Ever thought about it? What kriya? You're calling the Torah. You're learning. You're reading kriya because there's a light. There's a kedusha. That's already there. You're calling it over to yourself. You're inviting that portion of the Torah and its kedusha that it represents into your life, into your day, into your occasion. So you read that portion of the Torah that contains that specific kedusha, that specific hashpah, that specific light that's appropriate for that day. That's why we read certain things on Yom Tov, certain things on Shabbos. Each thing as appropriate for that setting. That's one element of halal, which has sort of a permanence. It's set to those days. The 14 days, the 18 days, right? But then we have something called a halal, which he says is a shira haidah. It's an expression of song and thanksgiving on account of a nes. That's the second part of halal. That's shira. It's coming from us, so to speak. It's an expression of joy, sort of clinging upward, right? We're sort of elevating ourselves to Hashem. We're not calling down something that's already existing, some hashpah, right? As the first type. Of Kriya Sahal. Here it's Derech Shira, says the Briska Rav. And that corresponds to the second track that we say the Halal called Tzara Vatzara when there's salvation, when there's a Nes. Hence, we say it on Hanukkah as well, Mishem Nisa. Okay, so even though it's not on account of the uniqueness of the day, so to speak, that there's a Kedusha Vasiyas Malacha, that it's a Mayid. That relates to the first element of halal, the kriya sahal, you're calling down the ashpa appropriate for that day. But when there's a special nace, and even throughout the generations, right, there's a huge nace that the chachamim will determine that it's significant enough to warrant a halal, then there's a chiv to say halal, right? Now we're not big enough to determine today, so we just stick to the true and tried, right? The Chanukah and the Purim. But according to Briska Rav, it's a new element of Halal. It's called Halal on account of a Nes, Derech Shira. Ask the Gemara, okay, so then Purim, why not Purim? You experience a very pretty big miracle on Purim, right? Purim Dikanisa, we all saved from Haman, right? Lema, why don't we say Halal? Amar B'Yitzchak, so we have three answers. First of all, it says that happened outside Eretz Yisrael. We do not recite Shira Halel on a miracle that occurred outside Eretz Yisrael. Explains the Marsha. The reason is because the Nisan that we experienced in Eretz Yisrael were done directly by Hashem, without emissaries, without Malachim, getting the sort of carrying it out, as opposed to Chutz La'aretz, which is a more indirect system, so it doesn't evoke the same expression, the same reaction, the same Halel. Maskevar Nachmar Yitzchak. Eretz Yis Mitzrayim, we say hello there. The nation of Chutz Laretz, who happened outside of Yisrael. Hello, we still say hello. Now, Turei even asks, what do you mean? The halal on Pesach, I thought it was the first type of halal, the Kriyas halal. Yom Tov, Mayit, Karbonis. He says, the Gemara's kasha is not on the regular halal, it's on the halal that we say at night, the night of Pesach. Which, again, according to the Briska Rav, corresponds to the second type of halal, the Shira, the song, sing-song halal. That's triggered by a nes, by a miracle. That's to commemorate the miracle, the Hatzalah, the salvation. Hence the question. But it wasn't Chutz La'aretz. The answer to that is, says the Gemara Kedesanya, the answer is contained in the Braisa. Before and after. Achaloi nechtsu Yisrael la'aretz, before we enter Eretz Yisrael. At that point, perhaps the point is that at that point we had very direct hashpah from Hashem, as though we were in Eretz Yisrael. So at that point, pre-entry, Hukshru kol ha'rotzis l'mashira. So any miracle that occurred in any land, even outside Eretz Yisrael, was enabled for Shira. But once Mishnichus l'aretz, when we entered Eretz Yisrael, the system changed. Lo yukshru kol ha'rotzis l'mashira. So only a nes of Eretz Yisrael will trigger the shiro, but not outside Eretz Yisrael. Rav Nachman Omar, I'll tell you why. We do say halal actually on Purim. Kriyasa Zohar Leila, the reading of the Megillah, reciting of the story on the Nes, that is our expression of Thanksgiving. That's tantamount to halal. Rav Amar, third teretz, why there's no halal on Purim? It doesn't fit with the content of halal. Bishlei Mahasam, certainly regarding Mitzrayim, we thank Hashem, Hallelu, Avdi Hashem, right? Servants of Hashem, Bel Avdi Paroi, who are no longer subservient to Paroi. So it makes sense. But Hacha, here by Purim, what are we going to say? Hallelu Avdi Hashem, Bel Avdi Achashverosh? Praise Hashem, the Avodim Hashem, who are now free from Achashverosh. It's not so. We were still under his rule. Akati, true, their lives were saved, but Akati still, Avdi Achashverosh, was still the servants of Achashverosh, so it's not a fitting expression. Question, why not Halal on Purim? Number one, it was outside Eretz Yisrael. Number two, there is. It's the Megillah. Number three, it doesn't fit with the content. Now, Ula Rav Nachman, the Amar, Kriyasa, Zuhai Leila, according to Rav Nachman, the second Teretz, that actually the Kriyasa Megillah is in lieu of Halal. How does he, what does he do with that Braisa? That the Halal is only meant for a nes in Eretz Yisrael. Hatani, we went to Braisa. Mishenichnos la'aretz, once we enter Eretz Yisrael, lehukshiru kol ha'aretz islam ha'shira. You can no longer say shira on a nes that occurs out to Eretz Yisrael. So why would you say shira on Purim? Kivin shagol, the answer is once we were exiled, chazru, the rishon, once they left Eretz Yisrael, they went back and reverted to the earlier system. And the again, because the Mashal explains, because once we're in Golis, so the Shekhinah comes along. Okay, so once again we have that direct, we maintain that direct connection with Hashem, direct relationship, even though we're in a different location. Okay, so basically they had the Shira in the Beis HaMikdash during the Karbanos, specifically during the pouring of the wine, together with the Karbanos Tzibur. They had a whole Levim choir with an orchestra, and there were specific times throughout the year when they had special performance on account of these special occasions, which corresponded to those days that we say, that today we say the full Hallel, on account of the special Karbanos, special day designation, with a Mayed, without Malacha. What about Chanukah? Because of the Nes. What about Purim? Perhaps the Megillah is the Hallel, or perhaps there's no Hallel, because of the reasons mentioned. Mishnah began with a reference to a chalal, this flute, and later on it describes it as not being copper, rather it was made of reed, because it had a sweet sound. So we switched our reference from chalal to aviv. Is it the same thing? Pasach b'chalal, Masayim b'aviv. We start referring to it as a chalal, then we call it an aviv. Amar papa, it's the same thing. Hainu chalal, hainu aviv. But my currently chalal, so aviv was the later new name. Why was it still called a chalal? The chalal, chalal. Chalal Rashi says in his masik, how sweet. A sweet sound. And that's why it's called chalal. Tanu Rabbanu. For some more background on this instrument, Tanu Rabbanu. Aviv hayi b'migdash. So there was this aviv in the Migdash, this flute, which was from way back in time, from time Moshe Rabbeinu. Chalal kaya. It was smooth, without any, peel. Dakaya. So the reed was very thin and produced this very nice, thin, sweet sound. Shekhana haya, made of reed, right? Umi mois moisha haya. It was still from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, later on, they felt, a piece of wood to make it look elegant, fancy, right? Gold plated. So, in fact, Vetziva HaMelech, there's actually another girsa, Vikoyle Arev, had a very sweet, pure voice, pure sound. Tziva HaMelech v'tzibu Zov, the king decided, told them to gold plate it, thinking that it would enhance, it would look nicer. Yeah, it was nicer, but it didn't have that same sweet sound. Not lo tzipuyoy, until they removed the plating. Luckily, they were able to do that. And went back to its original sweet sound. A similar story happened with the tzoltzol, this symbol, right? The clanging, plates. C-Y-M, right? Symbol. So once again, they try to tinker with it. Tzotzol even English on the Chayshah side. It was this old tzotzol made of copper. But it cut a very sweet, beautiful sound. V'nifkam, it got a bit chipped. And Tosfos explains, of course, they could still use it, but they figured they'll fix it up. V'shalcho chachamim. Chacham sent over for the craftsmen in Alexandria, in Egypt. That was the center of all arts and civilizations. That's where the experts were. V'shalcho chacham v'viyu umnen. They brought these craftsmen from Alexandria, from Mitzrayim, from Egypt. They fixed it up with some, mending. And it affected the sound. It no longer sounded as good as before. They removed the patch. Perhaps it was low quality copper or whatever it is. It interfered with the sound. Once they got rid of it, and it regained its former glory. Another story with the machteshes, with this mortar, which was used to crush the besamim, of copper. They would use it to crush the besamim. And interestingly, Rashi says they would need sound to produce the besamim. Rashi brings a price and increases that the fellow who would crush would say, Heitev, Haddei, Kaddei, Ketev. Some of them say it by davening, right? It's because the koil, Shakol Yafel Absamim. Maybe the sound waves or whatever, the word, the sound makes has a good effect on the, enhances the psamim, makes it smell good. So the clanging sound, this unique clanging sound and this unique mortar did a great job in producing good quality psamim for the Migdash. And this bagma, what happened was it got a hole. They view Umanin, Alexander Mishan imported these fixer men, the Tiknu to fix it up. It didn't have, just didn't have the same ring. It wouldn't do the same job as it did. Not lost the kuna, they removed the patch, and it regained its former status. Elush nekelim, so these two utensils, nishtairu migdash rishon. Right? So, these are the kelim that were holdovers from migdash rishon, from way back from the Mishkan. And even though, but it's bagmu, they were slightly damaged. But you couldn't fix them, as we just learned. You couldn't repair them, you couldn't fix them up, because as soon as they tried, it just made it worse. On which David HaMelech refers to in the Pasuk, Nechoshes, Memurot, Nechoshes, Moruk. So the Kalim in the, he's talking about the Kalim in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, but the same would apply to these kelim that were done in the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu's time. Nechoshes memurot, very thin, high quality copper. Nechoshes memurot, shiny, glancing. And likewise, Ezra, when he came up from Golas by the second bayis, and brought along these kelim, Valei Mo'emar, which he says, it says Klei Nechoshes Mutzav Shnayim Chamudos Kzahav. So he's equating them to gold. In what way? Rav has one way, Shmuel has a different way. Chadam one said, Kol echad v'echad shakul k'shnayim shel zahav. So it says, Shnayim, right, then it says, K'zav, each one of these, Kalim, was worth like twice gold. So, basically, each one was worth double of itself in gold. Okay? So each one was shokel k'shayim shel zav. Each one was worth like two gold. V'chada, my one says, no, not that much. Shneim shkulin k'yach shel zav. Both together were as valuable as one gold. So each one was worth like half a vessel of gold. Still pretty unique. It's merely made of copper. That's how special it was. Tani Rav Yosef, he has a different, he has the pshat like the second way. Shneim shekulin k'yach shel zav. According to his brayso, so it was like the second way that both in total, some total like one of gold. Tani Rav Naime has a different pshat in the pasuk. He says when it says shnayim, it means that they had substitute, they made backups. Tani Rav Naime shneim hayu. They had backups as well, just in case. Shneim shnayim says shnayim, like shnayim instead of reading shnayim, like shneim. So they made duplicates. Just in case. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Leil Omer. Here's another example of trying to fix something, and better that you don't fix it, just leave it the way it is. In fact, there was a shiloyach, the famous shiloyach spring that was running, you know, below your shalayim, and it had a very, small flow. Shiloyach hayem akalech mayim would flow, you know, fresh water, big iser. Kiser is a small coin. That's how wide the flow. It was a very small flow. Tziva ha-melech v'rechivu, Tishas Rabbo Meimav, the king wanted to increase its flow, so he told him to, you know, enlarge the hole so that we have a bigger flow. But Ismatu actually had the opposite effect. It slowed down the flow. V'chazur emitu, so they shrunk it again to its old size, and now, shooting, v'yim kalech mayim, and now it's flowing even stronger, right? So went back to its earlier flow. L'kai meshenema. So all these stories with their sort of interference and their attempt to repair and to improve actually had the reverse effect, is in fulfillment of the pasuk, which teaches us a tremendous lesson in life. Leave it up to Hashem. L'kai meshenema, not always is your human interference appreciated. Let it flow. Let it go. Hashem knows best. Wise man should not be praise himself with his wisdom. The strong man with his strength. And the pasuk continues. Nor should the usher be proud of his wealth, right? Be proud of your connection to Hashem, your haskel v'idea oisi, your knowledge of Hashem, your dveikus b'Hashem, who's the source of all blessing. Likewise, over here says Rashi, the kelim were done piruach hakodesh, right? Hakol b'chsav miyad Hashem alai hiskel kol melechas hatavnis. Don't tinker. V'cheinayir Rav Shimon Leil Omer. In a similar fashion, he would tell us there was this thing called har davlim, this bell. As a girsa lo yehi b'mitzvah, he did not have it as part of the instruments. It wasn't part of the bat. Mayad har davlim. What is that? Mabaya tavla gur gedona. That's the bell. They wouldn't use a bell. And shekoyloi, they change it to of as a heavy sound. A bell as a heavy Arab sanima. It's going to just confuse, mix up the right. It's going to have that heaviness, that reverberation. That's going to disrupt the quality of the band. So it was left out of the lineup. Amar Rava Bar Shilam Rav Nasa Mashmol. What did they have in the orchestra? Magrefa. Hoysav Migdash. There was this thing called a magrefa. And according to Rashi, it's the rake used to remove the deshen off the mizbeach, the ashes. And Tosfos says, no, it can't be. It's an instrument. So it was a different type of, it was called magrefa, but it was a different utensil. And what was unique about it? It turns to the next Amud. Asor nekavim hayuba. So this magrefa had 10 openings into which they would insert a kana, a cylinder, like a reed, right? So it was like a pipe with a bunch of holes into which they would insert reeds. And each reed was like a flute on its own. Each reed had its own holes. Moitzi Asar Min Hazemer would produce 10 notes. So in total, you have 100. Nimtzes Kula. Moitzi Amei Min Hazemer. So the whole instrument would produce 100 notes. Moitzi Satan in the Braisa, it's presented as tenfold. He Amma. V'gavoya Amma. It in itself, the body of the instrument was an Amma long and Amma high. V'kate Yitzimen, this sort of pipe protrudes. V'asar Nukav Mohayiba, in which they had 10 holes. And they would insert the mini pipes into that big pipe, so 10 pipes into that thing. Each one of these sort of flutes had the ability to produce 100 notes of its own, so 10 times 100 is 1,000. Nimtzes, kula, moitzia, elef minizemer, so you have 1,000 notes in total. Pretty impressive, piano, half notes and quarter notes. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, v'simonach, to remember who said what, masnisa, generally the Mishnah, the Braisa, speaks sometimes in elaborate, exaggerating form, guzma, hence the grand number of 1,000, which perhaps was just some expression. It just means that there were lots of notes coming from that instrument, pretty grand piano. Okay, so in conclusion, we learned about the tkiyos in the Mikdash, according to some. Right, so it was a tkiyah, true and tkiyah, according to some. It's one mitzvah, it's a Midas Shita, according to Rabbanan, it's three different mitzvahs. Hence the disparity in counts, the number of tkiyas that we had in the Middash, which according to the Mishnah, at a minimum is 21, maximum 48, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it gets cut down by 2/3, but it's really one and the same point. we describe the various instruments, the nevalim and the cholel, right? The cholel was something unique that was introduced during special occasions, times of Yom Tov, times of Halel, which according to Rabbi Yechanan's count is 18 days a year, or in Chutz La'aretz it's 21 days. We explained the prerequisites for Halel being recited in full, a mayed, a Yom Tov, chalukim karban seyem, as well as during celebrations of Nisim. We spoke about this unique instrument from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, which had to be left as is, such as the machteshes and the tzaltzol and the mei shaloyach. All the best to you and hatzlacha rabba.